Welcome everybody to episode 109 of the You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam, Amy, and Russell Gibson. Russell, the NBA preseason has arrived.
I was a little bit excited.
It was nice. There was games. Just a little bit. It was like, check the app and it's like 2 days games. We have basketball. We have actual games to look at, and it's back.
I didn't mind the games they put on too. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really interesting matchup, like two, you know, behemoths underneath and then 2 point guards basically on the other end of the court. Like, it was a fun contrast.
It was interesting for sure. So it was
I was glad.
A couple of absentees, but that's all right. They'll get some minutes as the preseason progresses. I believe LeBron will be playing minutes.
Look, why don't we just...
Did Kyrie play today?
Why don't we just change the sheet up and just go straight into this? Because it was good. It's good to talk
about.
Sure, right?
We can talk about the card ramifications. I just like to see basketball being played. Saves me talking about the NBA. Yep.
Yeah, totally.
First game of the preseason.
So I think... So for me, the takeaway was that, why did the Mavs start two rookies? I don't really understand that. Like, is Jason Kidd trying to lose his job? Or is he just trying to prove a point that he can do it? I'm super confused about what they're doing there. Because to me, Grant Williams is the ultimate sort of modern five, where he can play big enough to hold it down, but then can stretch the floor. And then particularly around Luka and Kyrie.
And
then, so I'm just looking at game one. I only watched game one. I haven't watched game two of this because they basically played two games in Abu Dhabi. Yeah. And then it really looked to me that Kyrie really wasn't that into the game at all. He took 6 shots, 1 of 6 from the floor, 0 from 2 from 3, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 block. Like, it was just ridiculous. I just did not understand.
I'm still surprised Kyrie was allowed to travel. Let's be real.
So the part.
Around the world.
You mean around the round earth?
Yeah, well, if it's a flat earth, it'd be a lot easier to travel.
No, but seriously, so like, if you look at their roster, it's actually a really interesting like breakdown now. Like, they've, like, I get they moved on from Porzingis, so I get that 100%, but what have they really, you know, put into that space in terms of a big? Because the other guy they lost to was the center that went to the Kings this year.
You know, JaVale McGee.
Really, what have you put into that? Like, Derek Lively, I don't really think he's going to play 30 minutes a game this year. I reckon the maximum minutes a game this kid could play was 20. He just looks like a foul machine, like just a walking foul machine. So anyway, look, that was my big takeaway from it. And I'm still a bit perplexed about, you know, what's going on. And look, and maybe this is the greatest overreaction to nothing in sports commentary history, because, you know, it's one or, you know, two preseason games. Like, you know, they're going to change their rotations up. But so where was Rashaan Holmes? Like, if I'm looking down that roster now at their big guys. So they got Josh Green, I think, could play more minutes. Yep. Dwight Powell definitely could. Markieff Morris, even though I dislike that guy immensely. Derek Jones Jr. maybe could play a bit more, you know, 3 and 4. But I actually think the one there is, you know, Holmes. Holmes was really good for Sacramento last year. And if they want to win games, they want a veteran out there who's actually knows how to play basketball and bring these young kids off the bench.
I will note that what happens, and this might be the reason that Jason Kidd loses his job, let's be real. In the preseason, coaches tend to play with their roster in different ways, try to get a few not so real but real minutes in. Like, everyone's just giving runs to the superstars. They might run out a couple of different lineups. They know what they want, how they want to start the season, but there's a few secondary lineups they want to try out. So, but you're right. The roster is a little bit.
Look, and again, maybe this is the stupidest overreaction ever, but it just didn't make sense to me. And there was other commentators that said, you know, something very similar to that, but. You know, the funny thing about Jason Kidd, I actually think he's a really good offensive mind. Like, when he was in, when he coached the Bucks, he did some things with their lineups that was really quite
clever. Yep.
Experimental, and actually extended Giannis's career. And I think, I'm not saying Giannis has to thank Jason Kidd for his career, because, like, that's not fair, but you have to give him some
credit for that. He wasn't just for that also run of the mill coach. Like, he did some very, I know what you mean.
But then in his last stop, maybe actually this is like Kidd's pinnacles, that he's just the lead assistant coach off the bench and he just controls the offense. He's not the head coach because he needs someone to actually say to him, look, this is really bad for you to start Lively and Prosper at the same time. You're going to lose this game by 20 points. You know, like
the main,
you know what I mean? Like there's no one to sort of hold him back when he's got a crazy idea.
This time of the year is the time to lose crazy games, right? Do stupid stuff.
Sure. Yeah, sure. But, look, I'm overreacting, but
we all know how crazy things can get in Dallas when they went from being a playoff team to not very quickly.
So what did you think about the Wolves? That's the other team I think we need to overreact on.
I still think it's going to be a train wreck and the Twin Towers aren't made to play together, but there were some positive signs out of it.
Yeah, I actually thought that Gobert and Towns played together. I feel
like
really
they went to summer camp together and like they sort of learned to hold hands and braid each other's hair and stuff and really started to get some chemistry, which is good.
Well, so this is the takeaway I had, that the ball was in Towns' hand a lot, and particularly at the top of the key, and they were sort of running action through him in terms of him being a distributor and a scorer, and I really liked that. And the other thing I really liked too was Gobert just stood almost at the polar opposite of where Towns was. Like I feel like they've worked that piece out. So
like stretching the floor, but like rotating the posts, making sure that you're actually maximizing those towers.
Yeah.
And exposing your opponent. Yeah.
Look, I was very pessimistic about this duo, and I'm still pessimistic about it. But in saying that, look, again, it's only two games, but you know, I thought, you know, they did some things that worked. The other thing that I really liked from these guys was the pace they played at, because there was, I haven't got the statistic in front of me in terms of like their fast break points and their fast break opportunities. They basically multiplied that by 10. Again, it's a very small sample size, but and that makes sense. Like if you've got two big guys can actually get rebounds, you know, why not just run off that? So I think the one for me, like the big takeaway, I think, and we're going to do an episode about this in the next couple of weeks. Who are the guys who are sitting on the edges, the prospects that you need to look at and watch? And so I think Nickeil Alexander-Walker, the way that he played was just, you know, was really good. Jaden McDaniels also played really well. And then the other guy that was really interesting, who frankly, I'm like, I didn't even remember that he was in the league, is Luka Garza. So he came off the bench, 11 minutes, 6 of 13, 6 rebounds, 1 block for 12 points in 11 minutes. Like, I think...
some props there,
you know, guys like that. It's kind of funny, like... if that guy plays 10 years in the league, you won't be shocked because he's like a big enough body. He can shoot, you know, really, really well. You know, he's an NBA player. So
it's all good.
Anyway, Anthony Edwards will be back and playing more regularly. He did play in game 2. I didn't watch that game. But then the other game I think for us to mention too is the Golden State Warriors game and Chris Paul, because he was in uniform. What was your takeaways from that? Highlights.
It was good to see him get a run. He had an instant impact as far as no matter where he's gone through his career, he just fits in straight away. Like he's the ultimate professional point guard. Like he is. He's the perfect point guard because he learns the system and just acclimates. And I think he's gonna fit in really well come the regular season in Golden State. My only concern is obviously his age, his body, and is he cursed when it comes to the pointy end of the season? But it was nice. It was good to see him.
He's had some really bad luck when it comes to injuries and playoffs time. And I do take your point about basketball intelligence and putting smart people together, they just work it out. Yeah. Like I think that's a real thing.
I think he's always worked it out.
The thing that really, the thing that stood out to me in the very small amount of highlights I watched was that he will get to the mid-range because how much shooting standing around him, and that's like his bread and butter, just getting to that elbow and getting those like sort of leaning, falling away jumpers up. So I don't mind that at all. So segue back to the Mavericks, though. From Card Ladder headlines, Luka Doncic was in their headline section of their Next Day Auto. This is from Don Russ. So this is basically a case hit. And the idea of the Next Day Auto is that it's the first autograph that you'll get from a professional that's on card. So it stands somewhere between Hoops and Prism, but these particular cards, I actually think they're better autos than Prism. So in my mind, yes, it comes out of Donruss, which is less than Prism, but the actual autograph card. So the case hits on this. This is PSA 10. That just sold for $20,700 US. So we're not talking a small amount of change here. Now, if you're looking at the card ladder picture here, in 2020, that sold for just a bit over $5,000.
Wow.
So, you know, that's a nice little 3-year little flip there. Population's four
on
that.
Yeah, I think pop count's really important with stuff like this, but yeah.
Look, I think case hits are important, and yeah, I think this is definitely an important card. Look, I've enjoyed prospecting on low-end case hits and cards out of this set, but I'd also say too that the sliding scale on these cards is quite dramatic. So you can pick these up from $30, $40, $50 Aussie for a low-end one, but then obviously here, like the big, big, big boys, you know, go for a lot more money than that. So it is a little bit problematic when you start to, you know, collect the bigger names. So if you're looking at Luka, if you're looking at Trae Young, that goes for a couple of thousand. You know, the other ones also too is like even Halliburton, like those ones, you know, yeah.
Goodness. I don't know. I'm going quiet because it's Luka.
All right, let's... You haven't said anything about his...
He's early season Luka. He's going to put up amazing numbers. Everyone's going to, like, hype him up. He's going to be, like... He's going to be MVP of the league, and then in the second half of the year, he's going to... Yep. He's going to do what Luka normally does and not deliver.
Okay. You know, the funny thing about the West is this year...
I think it actually is,
so
yeah.
If they don't make the playoffs and if they keep starting two rookies, they've got no chance. Like the West
is
just so loaded.
I got off the phone
with
Jason Kidd earlier and he said he's going to keep doing this just to help me with my Luka. We're going to destroy Luka Doncic's career.
Unbelievable. Alrighty, so today was the hobby hangout in Sydney. So I hope everyone in Sydney had an absolutely fantastic time there. Now, if you would like to come along and see us at the Melbourne hobby hangout, we'll be there on the 19th of November. So at the moment, all the advertising from Andrew has just saved the date. There's nothing more that we can give details on. But I'm very happy to share with you and everyone else that we'll be there and we'll be speaking there or we'll be doing a podcast there on the day. So, guys, we can't wait to see you all and see you, you know, in the flesh
going
and do our live podcast.
Awesome.
And please come down. I understand it's going to be in a breakout room. It's not going to be on the main stage, which I'm actually very happy
about. You would
have
been worried about
how, you know, how fastidious
sound,
I am about
the
sound quality.
That would have been rough.
I'd be just freaking out all day. So this is going to be great for me. And then, look, if it's a little room and there's a couple of chairs and people can come in and, you know, sit with us, that would be...
Oh, look.
That would be fantastic.
Let's be real. I'm going to end up having a question or seven and I'll accost all of the vendors on the day with, you know, hard-hitting questions as per usual. How would we regulate the hobby?
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Sorry, I'm going to segue because when you said they're high end, low end with next day autos, Jason Tatum.
Talk to me.
Of course.
Talk to me. What do you got?
Jason Tatum last sold.
Yeah, sure. Talk to me.
BGS 9.5 is what I got, but last sold for $3,820 in May this year. And that's
USD,
and it's
right?
A population of 21.
So that's about 5,000, probably like
it
a little bit more
at,
than that.
And
that's what I was sort of saying about
$6,500.
Yeah, the big boys, they're not small change in that set. They do really, really well. Yeah. All righty. Probably the biggest piece of NBA news this week is Devin Vassell. He's re-upped with the Spurs on a descending contract. Now, this is not the first descending contract we've seen in the last couple of months. 5 years, $146 million. And I think this really raised... or turned a lot of people's heads just for the fact of, you know, how much they're paying this guy. Probably from my perspective, I'm not super shocked about it because they really hollowed out their team and essentially
I was
going to
say
this money on somebody.
The way
the
salary cap works is you've got to spend a minimum effectively. So like front loading this contract seems like a smart thing to do. It means basically,
Yeah, and front loading it. He's definitely good because at the moment they haven't got a bunch of salary on it, so that just fits into their cap perfectly. And then as the cap goes up, this contract just becomes better and better value. So I think in terms of risk and then retrading it, so that, you know, there's another person that the Spurs recently re-signed and traded was
DeJounte Murray. That's all right. Murray, yeah, Murray was an interesting one though, because he was performing. He was an all-star.
They re-signed him and flipped him. Yeah, I think part of that was they cut the cord on the timeline. He just didn't, you know, meet their timeline. But I think Vassell, even though he's he wasn't a young rookie coming in, like he's already 24 years of age. I still think he fits their timeline better than what, you know, Murray did or does. Sure. Is like the main thing, isn't it? So, look, I think now's a really good time to check out Card Ladder and have a look at what Vassell is doing, because this is not somebody that would immediately come to my mind of someone that is locked into the Spurs rotation. But I think if they're paying him this amount of money, well, then they're definitely going to be playing him for at least 30 minutes a night, right? And I think, like, where I'm going with this is I think there's going to be a bit more heat on the Spurs this year just for the fact of so many people are going to be looking at Wembanyama. So I think there will be a bit of trickle down to the other guys. So this is a really, you know, really good one to sort of say, look, where is this guy sitting? And is actually now a good time to be jumping on and, you know, having a look at this guy? Yeah. Yeah, this is super interesting. So this is 2020 when the price of grading was so ridiculously high. There's not even Card Ladder stats on this guy. For PSA 10s, it's only in for raw. So silvers are selling for about $10 a piece. All right. So this is a really, really easy assessment, and it's going to be a very quick one. This is just a straight buy.
Like if the guy's getting paid, and the undertone of that is he's going to get minutes, he's going to get opportunities. This is a team that's now got Wembanyama, who's drawn everybody's attention. So all eyes are on the Spurs this season. What do you like?
Yeah,
if he plays well, clearly, something's
That was such a short assessment. You know, he's going to
come at us with the Ferrugia factor at some point this season. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so I think, where I would sit with him is that, yes, you might get a quick flip out of it too, but I'd also look at that as sort of a 3 to 5 year thing when that team becomes really good. So if you're picking this guy up now for $10, which for me is, that's kind of my sweet spot, to be perfectly honest.
$10 is certainly an interesting point, because we've seen when they spike, what happens is it's an instant $50 ceiling. You know how we put like floors and ceilings on players earlier or late last season, where we're like, oh, what does this player feel like? That $300 to $400 seems about normal. I think that initial spike, US for those $10 cards, is when I guess the Ferrugia factor hits. So
it's
interesting.
Now this is low hanging fruit, but I think we have to touch on it anyway. The other one to look at Spurs wise is Keldon Johnson, because he's also been re-upped. Now I think the ball was going to be more in Keldon Johnson's hands more than Devin Vassell's, but at the same time, I would anticipate that changes a little bit this year. So silver PSA 10 last sold for $55. Look, I don't think this is as much of a home run as $10 for a raw, but if you actually think about this practically, if it costs you, say, $30 or $40 to sub a card, you're not guaranteed to get it to PSA 10. By the time you pay postage on a raw, then you post it out to PSA and get it to come back. Look, the math is actually there to say, just buy a PSA 10 for this price, doesn't it? So I think using that sort of logic, if I've just said, well, $10 on a for sale is a straight buy, well, then I think this Keldon Johnson has to be at the same thing.
They're different rookie classes, but it's a similar concept, except he's already at that $50 point. But you're right, he's going to get a lot more of the ball. Like, I think he'll be given more duties.
Well, that's a funny point that you made, actually. So let's just flesh that out for 2 seconds. So the pop on this Keldon Johnson is 1,100. I'm extremely curious to know the pop on the Vassell, right?
Yeah, well, that's so maybe, I mean, we've only got raw.
Okay,
we've
so let's stick with that. Yeah.
Mm.
So the only reason I could think is that the price of grading was so high and no one cared about Vassell, right? So
you can pick up.
Maybe that's a play that starts get into Vassell's, get some low
for $11.50. You can get the base without the silver, I mean, the population on that's almost 6,000, but I'm not, oh, that was a joke. I'm not buying, I'm not getting a base. I'm not getting a base.
No, it's totally fine.
But yeah, no, I think maybe, so, maybe it's still Vassal that's got the potential anyway. Because what happens if Johnson breaks out and plays serious minutes? What's the best? Does it become a $100 card?
Look, I think I wouldn't say never, just for the fact of how much hobby spotlight they're going to get this next 12 months. But I would still say that Vassal and Keldon Johnson really, to me, is like a 2 or 3 year. Because you're assuming that those three guys stay together and that, you know, they build something out. And that was the next guy I was going to segue to, because Jeremy Sochan is the other guy. But to me, that's a stay away because, I like his game. I like his hustle and I like his energy. But my problem with a guy like that is I don't think he's skilled enough to make it into a championship rotation.
Do you think it's...
And maybe I'm being too judgmental here.
Wait and see and watch some of the Spurs preseason stuff to...
Things can change week to week. Like, and to be honest... I feel like even some of the predictions, but I'm just where I'm sitting right now, and particularly if I'm looking for 3 years, that's how I feel about Sochan. Look, I think he's fine. If you want to, you know, PC him, you want to invest in him, you know, prove me wrong. I've got no dramas with that at all. But for me, I think Vassal is like, that's the easy one. That's low hanging fruit. And then for me, the second low hanging fruit is Johnson.
And then there's obviously Wemby, but that's giant fruit.
That's low hanging though because of the prices on it, right?
He's already there. He's a tourist attraction. Yeah,
like that's a different type of low hanging.
Yes, it's the high budget low hanging fruit.
All right, so this next segment, if you're not into this, guys, just fast forward a minute. So basically, what I want to go through here is, on average, what is the average NBA player getting paid from highest down to lowest? And I'm going to read through the whole list until we get to Vassal. Right, it's a very interesting list. All right, at the top, Lillard. I won't go through all the numbers because it's just too much. Anthony Davis, Jaylen Brown, Devin Booker, Karl Anthony Towns, The Joker, Steph Curry, Embiid, Bradley Beal, LeBron James, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, DeMontis Sabonis, Giannis, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Lillard, Doncic, Zach LaVine, Trae Young, Fred VanVleet, because he got paid an absolute packet when he signed with Houston, Halliburton, LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, Kyrie Irving, Desmond Bane. That's interesting. Ja Morant, Zion Williamson, Darius Garland, Klay Thompson, Tobias Harris, Michael Porter Jr., SGA, Ben Simmons, James Harden, Pascal Siakam, Drew Holiday, CJ McCollum, DeAndre Ayton, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Jeremy Grant, Jordan Poole, Porzingis, Brandon Ingram, Jamal Murray, Chris Middleton, Tyler Hero, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, DeJounte Murray, Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Wiggins, and then Devin Vassal. So, interesting list. Now, this is who is now getting paid more on average. RJ Barrett, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jalen Brunson, John Collins, Draymond Green, Anthony Simons, Terry Rozier, Cam Johnson, Buddy Hield, Bridges, Mike Conley, DeAndre Hunter. That's crazy to me. Kyle Kuzma, Aaron Gordon, Dylan Brooks, Josh Hart, Jared Allen, Lonzo Ball. What are the standout names for you on that list?
There's a couple of odd ones. I say odd, but...
Yeah.
Are they just the right time, right place? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just in... They're in contract year and it just... They just luck into it. Yeah.
It totally is. It depends. Absolutely. And I think... The easiest one to explain on that is like Al Horford. If you look at his total career earnings, he's earned like $200 million or something like that because he's had a really good agent. He's played in the NBA for a long time and he's just, you know, capitalized on all of his contracts basically.
But that...
The funny one on this list to me, honestly, is DeMontis Sabonis. Like he is like, I would say... Overpaid. He's higher paid than Giannis.
Would you say Paul overpaid, George, or would you think he's actually paid Luka. For the talent he's got? Because I think he's underrated as a player. Sabonis is.
I think he's underrated, but that's he shouldn't be getting paid more than Giannis. I think. Well, maybe Giannis is just underpaid, and that's as simple as that.
Why not?
Desmond Bane getting paid more than Jar is an interesting one.
Yes. Well. I don't know. I feel like because of the way the salary cap stuff's been going, it's likely to that's the time and a place stuff, right? Like the all the contracts that happened over the most recent offseason have been ridiculous contracts. Like you're hearing the
Jalen Brown's the obvious one, right?
Yeah, and Brown's was that was
yeah,
that was earth shattering. It was like, but it's this rise in salary cap. So I mean, it's bound to happen. And when you're saying $146 million isn't a lot of money compared to other players, I guess it's bizarre.
I think the reason why I wanted to read through that list was just try and work out of my head, you know, where
he's not many players
because I didn't really think he was going
to. He's obviously been flagged as someone of that caliber.
So maybe I should have done it the other way. Maybe I should have found him and then read underneath. Go like, 20, so who is getting 20 paid below, 20 than. Above. So Aaron Gordon.
Just to get an idea of where he's
been. So Dylan Brooks, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Marcus Smart. Like that's tough. You know, like Marcus Smart's a good
Lonzo's an good unlucky player. Man, but that's, injuries. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, some of these guys are overpaid going down the list. So you've got Evan Fournier, who's way overpaid. Duncan Robinson, that's an overpay. Norman Powell. Probably hasn't worked out. OG Anunoby, you could argue either way on that. Mm. Colin Sexton, I think that's an overpay. So we're sort of getting into like, you know, Laurie Markkanen underpaid at the moment. Bogdan Bogdanovic. Lou Dort is on an $82 million contract. That's tough. Oh, 80. This is interesting. Davis Bertans, he's the last one there at $16 million a year.
God, it's not as bad as having Luol Deng on you.
Where's
on your
he?
I was going to say the Lakers are paying him again this year because he only finished up with them like 7 years ago. they ended up paying him like $1 million a year just to to get him off the roster, but to mess with his pay. Yeah, I don't know. Be nice getting that just randomly, like that's right. Well, from when I was playing basketball, here's $1 million. God,
am I looking at this right? He's actually playing for the Thunder at the moment.
His hands.
Bertans, sorry, I'm still fixated
Dort's playing
on
for the Thunder, isn't
how
he?
Much this guy's getting overpaid.
Yeah,
Dort definitely is. Yeah, at least Dort can play. Like, and he can play both ends of the floor, right? Like, I'm not horrified by the
caliber of play you're putting around. It's. I think it might be a good little cheeky prospect for Sal.
I think
just so what he's getting paid.
Yeah, sure.
And you even just comping on those players, right? You're comparing him to those players. If that's where his talent's going to sit him. I mean, he's being paid as if he's that talented. He's not. He hasn't demonstrated it. So, but that's a good idea of the ceiling. That sort of, say, 50 to 80. Yeah,
for
$10,
I like that a lot.
You turn a $10 card into a $50 to $80 card, for argument's sake.
Yeah, sure.
That's not too bad. Eight xing your money.
Alrighty, I hope you're hungry, Ad, because this next segment is definitely going to make you feel a bit that way. This is non-basketball at the moment, but I'm going to spin this into a basketball story. So from my Twitter darling, at Eric Whiteback, if you don't follow him, guys, get on it. He is very good in terms of
this card is Russell,
material. Breaking news. Tops is officially
Twitter crush.
Oh, absolutely. Tops has officially announced what the Taco Fractor promotion is. If you own a Taco Fractor of the first player to steal a base in the 2023 World Series, you win free tacos for life. The prize will be awarded as a $15,000 digital Taco Bell gift card.
I have thought.
So how I was going to pose this to you. So I think Fanatics and Tops are doing some interesting promotions. So we spoke the last couple of weeks about the buyback on the bounty for the one of ones, which the longer I think about that, the less terrible I think that is.
Soon as you said they were paying effectively 10 times the market rate to bring those cards back, I'm like, that's good value.
Like, what if they did that in NBA?
Yeah.
In Prism, say. Okay, actually, let's do it another way. Let's say they did an Optic. So it's like a less of a set than Prism, but they made this set. Like, people would buy that. There would be nothing left on the shelves. It would all be gone.
There are
sure,
50
select.
Different one of Whatever. Ones.
Whatever. You know what I mean? So. Just like, that is true. So now all there'll the be two ones. Of each one.
Mind blowing. Yeah.
So how do you think that they could do a promotion in NBA? Like, just sort of, let's have this a bit of a fun thought bubble project.
Don't they do it at the NBA, in the NBA, like in the stadiums? You get two free tacos every time they get 100 points. And taco, all right, tacos for life.
No, I mean like doing like a buyback or, you know, doing some type of competition or something like that, you know, in cards. Because I think this is a really good idea.
So, okay, so if you're going to take the first player to steal a base, that's all they need to do is steal a base. Hit a free throw. It's just easy, but it's got to be in the NBA Finals because it's got to be in the World Series, right? For the baseball one. I don't know. Maybe just a free throw in the NBA playoffs. In the NBA Finals, not the playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Like the first free throw.
Yeah. The first free throw hit.
Okay.
I mean, the alternate is sure. The first technical foul. Get the Warriors there. I'd be chasing the Draymond, to be honest. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. A free throw is the only, you know, you could say field goal for steal because they're talking about stealing bases. So at least the steal is in the same vein, I guess. What do you think?
So I've been thinking about this maybe more than I'd care to let on, actually. So I really like the buyback idea. And they did a different one where there was particular rookies, or it was like a rookie set that they said, you can take these into your LCS. And then they will give you money back for them. So I want to roll this in a little bit of a different direction. So we all get these base cards. We have nothing to do with them. I've got boxes of them. I'm very happy to sell them to you for like basically $1 for the box and you pay postage. Yes,
because they're base cards, right?
Then you take a box of cards off me. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. And then I also like doing chases. So what if you presented them your local card shop with the entire set of, say, the Sacramento Kings. And it could be either in a base or parallel. It doesn't matter. And if it's all in base, that's totally fine. And then dependent on the set and then dependent on if you put parallels in or not or numbered cards in or not, they'll determine a value. So just say you give them a set of base of the Kings, then you get, say, $5 back. But it has to be in store credit. So this is economically
keeping
all that money.
Keeping the money into the same LCS effectively as well, right? Yep. So you're not. Yep.
Yep. Gets people going back to their LCS and then actually gets people chasing and collecting sets again. And then, you know, they have to do Facebook posts. Oh, I need this last card to complete this set. Then I can go to my LCS and I can go in and get it done.
Oh, yeah.
I know this is like maybe too complicated and too hard to maybe to track. And there'll be some way that LCSs or, you know, some Darrow would, you know, mess with it to like ruin it for everyone. But I kind of like that in that then you have to chase sets. It's got this kind of like, you know, multiplier factor that if you put in parallels or you put in numbered cards, that will be like increasing the value a bit. And then you have to go, to, you know, down to EJ cards or Cherry or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you buy and sell your cards from.
What
and
do
then,
the stores do when they've got all these sets?
Yeah. That I'm not sure about, but from what I understand is they actually got money back from Tops. So,
they're kind of redeeming it back. Okay. So there's kind of like a.
I might ask the boys at EJ Cards next time.
We'll be down there in 2 weeks, won't we?
So that is the perfect segue, Adam.
Saw it there on the run sheet and thought, you know what?
That was delicious. 22nd of October, they're having their next Traders Day, and I'm 100% going to be there because the kids have got a birthday party that same day
and
at same
the
same time.
And that's where the birthday, we're
in the same
relocating
area, so
the
like,
birthday party to EJ Cards.
It's like divine intervention that EJ put on a trade day for me on this day. So thank
the
you.
People who are having the birthday party know that they're going to end up at a local card store.
Oh, I'm just not going to the party.
I thought you were going to, you could have grabbed all the kids from the party and tried to trade them. Because what time can kids be traded from?
Oh, that's right. Another great segue, Adam. There's a designated kids trading zone to staff supervisors, free drinks and snacks all day, live openings, discounted singles, NBA mystery boxes, NFL mystery boxes. I'm sure there's going to be, oh, here we go. It's right in the middle. The return of Carson's Monster Halloween mystery box.
It's going to be.
Look, get on down, guys. Look, it's always fun, you know, irregardless of the fact that, you know, these guys sponsor us. It's a well-run day. They put a lot of effort into it to make it a lot of fun.
It's a heap of fun.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to start doing is finding something which I think is a good buy on the EJ Cards website. So I've just gone through, had a look through. I couldn't go past this. The Panini's Father's Day pack, 2 multi-card sport for $24.
Yep.
Fun rip. there is some potential in those, and yeah.
Ooh.
This next segment is a little bit of a funny one, just for the fact that I'm a little bit upset about this. The Card Codex boys beat us to it, but it was a Steph 1-of-1, and again, this is from Card Ladders, Card Spotlight. I wanted to talk to you about this because, for me, this is a very polarizing card. So it sold for $39,000. It's a PSA 9. It's a black
refractor. It's a nice looking card, actually. Hang on.
Is $39,000 too cheap, too expensive, or just spot on for you?
It's a 1-of-1. But the question is, hang on. What year is it? 2022. It's interesting because it's hard to dictate. You can't dictate the price point of a 1-of-1. It's the up and the downside of it.
Well, they put this to auction, so set it. They didn't say, like, this is my price, take it or leave it. They were like, let's take this to Goldens.
Does it matter if it's PSA 9? Like, it's a 1-of-1. Population is 1. Yeah.
That's another discussion. I think that's a separate discussion. You know, why do you buy the grading of 1-of-1? You know, what are you going to get back from it? But I would actually say, my opinion is, yes, if it's a 1-of-1 and it's a PSA 10, that's still better than a 1-of-1.
You're already ready for my Inception level segue?
You can't change my mind. Go.
Why don't we bring our lovely friend Ryan into this and suggest that PSA use a 1-of-1 grading system, saying gem mint. Don't have to put a number to it, just gem mint. It's 9 or above, because it doesn't matter if it's a 9 or a 10, it's the only one in existence. Anyway, I like the idea of seeing gem mint on it and not seeing a number. That said, it'd probably be a bit off-putting if you saw a PSA, if it said 8. The PSA grade for a 1-of-1. And because it's not a rookie year, I guess there is logical reasoning to not pay a premium for it if it's a lower grade. How much higher would it have gone if it was a 10?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just answering questions.
Well, the difference between 9 and 10
questions at the moment, but...
No, and that's fine. Like, but I would say at the moment, the market, there is a significant difference between 9 and 10.
Yeah, but that's cards with a population count, right? The population of this will always be 1. There's no 10s to compare it to. But in the market, the difference between a 9 and a 10 is sometimes 10 times the value. Does that mean this is a $300,000 card if it was a PSA 10?
I would say maybe 50 or 60.
I think it pushes up. It pushes 100K. There's nothing special about it. I feel like that sentence was very disjointed then.
Okay, so going – so now you've – no, no, so now you've said that there's nothing special about it. So does that mean that overall you think this card is overpriced, or the person's paid too much for
it? Maybe. 1-of-1s is so difficult. It's – yeah. If it was a Warriors championship year, it holds more meaning. Was it though? It is, but it isn't, if that makes sense. I don't know. If it was from the Warriors championship run, I think it would hold more value. Like, there's more sentimental value to it.
Look.
Or if it had Steph doing his little go to sleep pose.
I think that's a good photograph. I think that's a good action shot. It's not.
I'm looking at
Steph
it going,
pose, though,
yeah, because like that's jump what we know or, Steph Curry doing, layups. That's him all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Like, he's literally the greatest three-point shooter of all time. So, like, but it's a really nice action shot of him. You're right.
So this is my thought about this card. I struggle valuing these cards because this is so far out of my stratosphere. It's all hypothetical, right? But just bear with me for 2 seconds. I think the person that bought this obviously values Steph Curry a lot, and this must be the main PC, if not a large part of the PC. Because you know what I mean? Like, this is a large amount of money to put into one card. But I'd also say, too, is that also means that they value Steph Curry at a very high level. Because, like you said, this is not a particularly special year or special pose. It's not a rookie card. It's not a patch autograph, you know, blah, blah, blah. So where I'm leading with this, though, but that to me has a trickle-down effect. So Steph Curry rookie cards, Steph Curry autographs, Steph Curry rookie patch autographs, blah, blah, blah. Are we not valuing these cards highly enough because of how special this guy is, if there are collectors out there willing to pay this money for a relatively unspecial card, if that makes sense?
I mean, what makes it special is it's a 1-of-1, right? But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, on the priority list, look, I just
my
think
issue
it's,
is
yeah.
It's not a rookie card. It's not an autograph. It's not game worn.
Correct, you know, that's correct,
where
correct.
I'm, that's, like, this is where I'm yeah, really struggling yeah. So, in my head. Yeah.
I think the one-of-one factor is important, but I think the other things you mentioned are more
absolutely.
Important. So rookie being a major, major factor when it comes to defining value, game-worn jersey or game material, game-worn material, on-card autograph. So it's none of these things which are the key drivers for the value. Now. Yeah. When one thing I tend to look at always is the pop count. Now, I know the pop count of this is one, and that is important. But I think those other factors take precedence. And look, $40,000, yeah. I'm sure if we're talking to Joe Average on the street, the idea of paying $40,000 for a piece of cardboard is just preposterous, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. The hobby is dead. I mean, like, let's just...
But what we're saying is it's $40,000 for a card that's not a rookie card, not an autograph, and not doesn't involve any game-worn material. Yes, it's a one-of-one.
Sorry, guys. If you are relatively new to the show, that was complete sarcasm from me, and the hobby is alive and well and vibrant. It's just the naysayers who are ringing the hobby is dead.
I think the hobby is dead. The fact that we're still around and we're going to be at the hobby hangout suggests the hobby is not dead.
Yeah. So my final thought on this card is that have we slept on Steph Curry rookie stuff? Have we slept on Steph Curry autographs? And are there other big guys who are stars of the NBA that potentially are going to be at the end of their career, say, in that 10 to 20 all-time NBA player mark? So there's a couple in our generation.
Yes.
LeBron James.
Yes.
Steph Curry. And Giannis, right? Now, Matthew Yuga was on this. He was talking about this either on our show or on his own podcast. And he was right about this. He's like, at $1,000, I can buy a low-end Giannis autograph. Is that the best buy at the time? This is the best buy in basketball. And I doubt you could get close to $1,500 for a low-end Giannis anymore. And I wonder if this is the beginning of that. Or maybe it's the end of that. You know, this is a sign that this guy is going to, you know, really blow up in terms of, you know, hobby value. Yeah. That's what I take away from this.
I think this, you know, shows that there is interest. I think there's a lot of interest.
That's to me is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Now, I've got the perfect segue into our next segment, which is the Bang Man who hit a Steph Curry autograph recently. So I might just play our advertisement. We have a new sponsor supporting the show. It is The Bang Man, who is a new startup and have been operating since June this year, delivering a variety of hobby packs in a single box at an affordable price. So far, they've delivered some huge hits. The biggest one they've pulled so far is a Steph Curry Signatures Gold Auto to 10, which came out of the July edition. Some comps have been rounded up to about 15k AUD, which was verified by Card Letter. So if you're not familiar with what the Bang Man is and what their product is offering, it's basically an assortment of hobby packets put into a box. At an affordable buy-in, you can then open a variety of different hobby packs. Some of the advantages of buying into a product such as this is that you can sample a whole bunch of different products. Another way to think of it is doing your own break at home. The advantage of the Bang Man's product is you are purchasing sealed, unsearched hobby packs as opposed to a single card repack product that has a huge range in value. Just to make the clear delineation between the Bang Man's product and any traditional repack, when you buy into a Bang Man product, you are getting the guarantee of the Panini seal and then all of the hits then come out of sealed products. So all the numbered cards, if appropriate for the product, rookie patch autographs, signature cards, and of course those super short prints and case hits. Another key point for the Bang Man product is that they have an assortment of different hobby packs in a custom box at two different price points, one being a gold edition and the other being a silver edition. Each month, the Bang Man changes up the pack so it's not the same constant lineup. For listeners of our podcast, we have an exclusive deal for you. Use promo code YouCan'tComp This to get a $15 discount off your next purchase. Find the Bang Man on Instagram, the.bang.man,
and on Facebook, The Bang Man. Thank you so much, Amir and Team Bang Man.
What?
That was a long one.
We made it. While that was happening, I was very tempted to go and purchase a pack.
Don't forget your promo code.
You can't comp this, right? Easy to remember.
That's it. Alrighty. Three more things on the run sheet. I think we should call it quits. This is a bit of a quick one.
Oh, I like this one. I didn't see this.
Yeah. This is a mixture of three different things rolled into one. So the first thing you need to do is follow at Draft Express on Twitter. It's Jonathan Gavoni. The guy is just an absolute NBA. I imagine this guy is like a Tom Thibodeau when he was in his younger days, just like sleeping on the couch in the New York office. He never went home. He just was always at the Knicks office, just like grinding away. He does these amazing videos and write-ups about basically prospects and draft prospects. So this particular tweet is about Bobby Klintman, who is one of the players that's in the NBL on the Rising Stars program. So he'll be in the NBA draft next year. So instead of going to college or they go to junior college or something like that, now players are going to Europe, Australia, they're going to the G League to play in that. So this is part of that program. He did a really good write-up about him. You know, look, I think where I sort of sit on this is I've been very publicly not opposed, but I don't have a lot of interest in watching the NBL, but they're getting more and more NBA prospects and even ex-NBA players. You know, this year there's Matty Dellavedova's come back. You know, Aaron Baines is back. There's this kid. There's another kid that's also going to be going to the NBA draft next year. So
I think, well, you said it's all LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball for used someone, the NBL as his platform, right? Rather than go to college.
Yeah. For someone like me who's got no interest in NBL at all, like it's actually becoming almost appealing. Like I hate to say it. So look, definitely check out Jonathan Gavoni. And, you know, if there's NBL games on, you know, check them out. Like they're definitely doing everything they can to, you know, revitalize and bring this league back. So are you a fan of NBL? Are you a fan of Jonathan Gavoni?
I haven't been following Jonathan Gavoni on Twitter. But I do watch a little bit of NBL. And the league is getting a lot more competitive. It seems like it's becoming a respected league. You see the way Australia has performed overall, and I think that's being reflected in the way we're playing our basketball domestically. So the NBL is becoming a very appealing league, I guess, for players to find their place or prepare them for the NBA. This season was opened by Scottie Pippen, and I believe LaMarcus Aldridge was down here as well for opening week.
I saw tea time there.
It was good. It was good. Apparently Pippen's coming back early next year, so I've got friends with fingers on the pulse to try and hook me up with a jersey or something to that effect, given that Scotty was one of my 90s PCs. Yeah. But the NBL, get on it if you get through all of NBA League Pass and you still want more basketball.
You watch every game. Yeah. And you need more. That's it.
NBL League Pass. Get onto the NBL. That's it.
And probably go to therapy too. You've got some
unresolved
obsession
issues with
through.
The game of basketball. Next on the run sheet.
This is from Ramona Shelburne, reported this first. Joel Embiid, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, has committed to play for Team USA at the Paris 2024 Olympics. Sources have told ESPN. Embiid informed Team USA Executive Director Grant Hill of his decision on Thursday morning. So look, when I read this and heard about it, I was like, he's just a front runner. He's jumping on board. But
he's got dual citizenship
for, French and American.
Yeah.
So he was born with that. So immediately he's not a front runner. But then also he's lived here, the last, 10 or 12 years. His son was born here. And apparently the thing that Grant Hill used to psychologically convince him to come across was that represent his son. His son's an American citizen. you know, play for your son, you know. And so that was the thing that signed him over. So, look, that is a huge, huge, huge signing for Team USA. But let's take it back to the thing that matters is card value. So this is – I was looking this up today in prep for the show, and I'm still a bit befuddled by this. His silver PSA 10 rookie, population of 84. Yep. We spoke about this last week with Pops with Damian Lillard, MVP now. Last sold for 733. So if you look at his value over the last 12 months, he was actually up to 2,500. So it's come down significantly. COVID crazies, let's exclude this, but still we have to talk about it. It was $4,000 was the highest price. And then pre-COVID, it was selling for like 1.6. So even before all of that insane stuff happened, we're still sitting $900 cheaper. And in that time, he's won an MVP. So what I'm posing to you is does him now, does this increase his popularity because he's pledged his allegiance to the American flag?
For the Americans. It'd have to, wouldn't it?
I think Americans are so crazy for their country that this to me seems a no-brainer. Yeah,
big dip off with the blue to 99. I'd be buying that. You know me, I can't help my color match. Pop counter 12, last sold for 1,234. I know the $5,000 is COVID crazy, but I still think a long-term, I don't know.
I mean, that's all about budget. Like, you know, but if you look at the nine's sitting at 300. And anything that's numbered, I'm not saying the grade doesn't matter because the grade does matter. But at the same time, I think if you're buying numbered cards, then you just have to be prepared to work through the
percentage
gradient.
Percentage-wise for the low pop.
If you can afford a six, that's great. And just be prepared for it to trickle up, you know. So, look, I don't mind the nine at that price, to be honest. I think 10 is out of my price range personally. But
yeah, I know.
So I'm not going to put him in the same sentence as Steph, LeBron, and Giannis, but do you put him in the sentence below that? And are we sleeping on this guy?
He's two below. Jokic is in the one below. But he's above Luka because he's won an MVP.
No, I just missed Joker from that
I feel like Joker's in above Embiid. I don't know. I don't think Embiid's that. Maybe I underrate him. I think he's good. I just don't think he's. I don't think at the end in 20 years' time, people will remember Joel Embiid the same way they remember Joker, Giannis, Steph, LeBron. I think the phrase that comes around with Joel Embiid is going to be the process and then a chuckle, and then people will say it was overprocessed and Philadelphia never succeeded. And that's being pretty harsh, but it's the success factor.
Look, the reality is what you just said there, I think there's a lot of truth to that, and how that the James Harden situation pans out is going to influence the outcome of this guy's career, whether you like it or not, because that's not a young team they've got in Philadelphia. They've sort of gone all in. And this Harden situation is absolutely blown up in their faces in the worst possible way. So did you see that he threw a party and then had people holding up signs that said Daryl Morey is a liar? So James Harden can't say
he
can
go to a party,
he can go to a party where people are holding up signs that say it.
Love it. Love
it's
it.
So amazing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And you know who I feel sorry for right now? Nick Nurse. Because they're asking him, like, rotation questions and stuff with the preseason. He's like, I don't know what things are going to look like from night to night.
Nick's a funny dude, though. So I'm actually not surprised that he said, I don't know what the rotation's going to look like. He kind of rolls with the media stuff.
He's this generation's Popovich, I think.
Maybe. I think Spoelstra is generation's Pop. I like that dude. Yeah. I think that guy is
crazy smart. Fair.
Like, I look at him and I kind of almost think he's evil. He's that smart, like sort of pathological, like smart.
Like he learnt from Pat Riley. So,
you know when you see those little kids who are like too smart and you're like, oh, like you kind of scare me. Like that's what I look like when I see
Spoelstra. That is fair. Like,
All right. Last thing in the run sheet. Again from Eric. He does some good stuff, but it's, all right, the top 20 sports cards with the most PSA 10s in existence. So, Ryan, if you're listening to this, I actually emailed you about this today, mate. I want to, like, get Ryan's perspective on this in terms of junk wax and NBA. Junk slabs, I should say. So, Zion is number one at 22,860. I'll just do the NBA ones because all the rest of it, don't really care. Number three is Ja Morant at 22,300. Luka Doncic, 19,600. Then actually, number 12 is next. Mosaic Zion at 15,000.
Revolution LeBron.
At number 14, 14,600.
Prism LeBron 2019. Is that?
2009.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I was going to say it. Yeah.
13,000, nearly 600.
Yeah.
So what's your takeaway from that list?
I think you can see exactly where when the pricing was just too good to resist and people were subbing all their base cards. Like you could, you know what I mean? Like the flip was, it's those cards from, look, in that list, there's only one card that isn't from that 2018 to 2020 bracket. And
that's the really interesting thing.
So they're all from that period.
The 1989 Ken Griffey Jr., 13,000. So
there's an argument to be made that as junk wax, the reputation from the 90s about junk wax, 2018 to 2020, there's a lot of product. There's a lot of product.
I'm not sure that that will ever be ratified. And what I mean by that is I don't think that that information will ever be disclosed to people of actually how much they made. And then also, how do you compare that to the 90s when there was all these different companies?
The fact
making
that you're still
like,
getting
that's going to be
plenty
very
of
difficult. 90s
product means I'm sure. Look, that stuff was just crazy. But yeah. I don't know.
So where I'm leading with this is pricing, right? So where do we go with pricing? And maybe what we can take away from the 90s junk wax is the price of hobby boxes. So you can pick up a hobby box for about $100.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
$200, something like that. Like,
and it's a lot
still
of fun
readily
to open,
available,
though.
Right? Yeah. So Darren Rovell, it's great. You're not going to actually feel bad about spending $100 and, you know, having a couple of beers. Definitely, yeah. So Darren Rovell, with nearly 23,000 PSA 10s, it's insane that people are even paying $60 today for that Zion-based rookie. It's the poster child of the junk slab era. So I'm just going to connect those two dots together now. So I think with that comment and then what we just said about how much it's available with the junk wax, are these cards, is this list actually the stay away list of what you should not buy?
In a nutshell, yes.
So you,
that's
yeah.
not what,
so you look at that list and you go,
buy.
Okay, these are the cards that I should not buy.
Like I make the joke every time you talk about Luke, the Luka base, which is just under there. It's actually, why isn't Luka on that? Oh, wait,
Luka's
the prison one. Yeah, yeah.
Luka was
going
like
to say Luka's
13
on that
or something
list.
Like that.
I'm just showing the picture to everybody. Oh, there we go. Luka Doncic.
Sorry.
Yeah, is it six? We can keep checking in. I'm sure he'll bump up the list eventually. But yeah, it's crazy.
So I'm just looking at the price on the
20,000 copies of a card.
So I'm just looking at the price. Yeah. So the Zion PSA 10 base is at $67 was the last sold. You know, the funny thing was like a few months back, I was actually looking at these and going, this is not terrible a buy. But then when you hear someone who's, you know, incredibly smart like Darren talk, take the guy's advice, don't listen to me. It's difficult to look at, isn't it? I suppose, you know, I also wonder too where do these bottom out at? Do they just become $30 AUD cards?
But you just basically it's like this is the price of grading it, so this is what you
You know, they'll end up in. Sort of,
I keep
joking medium,
about the fact that
you know,
maybe a PSA 9 is more important to get.
At EJ Cards and the hobby hangouts. You know? Is that their future?
I definitely think they're not an investment. The hobby would have to be incredibly, incredibly robust for these to be an investment. Because it's supply and demand. There's so much. The demand would have to go up so much for these to hold value because there's so many of them. Because as soon as somebody says, I want a Zion rookie card, like what's the likelihood that 100 people put their hand up and go, yeah, I've got one. Do you want to buy it?
As opposed to an Embiid number to 99.
Yeah.
Hard to buy. Zion,
you can population get one anywhere. Count of 10, numbered to 99. I'll pay $1,000 for that. But I'm not paying $1,000 for something that's been mass produced. Even the silvers of these things, like there's 2,000. The pop counts are in the thousands.
1,600 Zions, Last sold for $533.
And look, as I said, we covered this earlier with Steph. We covered this earlier with the Steph discussion. There are multiple factors to the value of a card, but the rarity of the card or the accessibility of it is crucial. Now, sure, Pop 10 is insane and great, but on the opposite end of that, 20,000? Like, we assess a lot of players that their pop counts are at 800, and we're like, is that going to impact it? Like,
yeah, it's quite mind-boggling, isn't it? 20,000. It's sort of hard to get your head around.
I would feel hard done by if I sent a Zion rookie card off a grading and it didn't come back a 10, given how many come back as 10s. That also, like, oh God, what's the pop count on the nines? And do we even go there? Do you know what I mean?
Can I tell you how divided on this in my head I am? So I'm looking at the numbers. I'm actually thinking to myself, if this guy pops off, they're going to go up. And I know I'm sick, and I know that's like the wrong thing to say, and I know Darren's right, but I still cannot get that out of my head.
Well, right.
Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at the silvers. So the silvers are $533 at the yes. moment, right? You can't tell me if he pops off, they will. They're not going to rise.
Don't get me wrong. They are definitely. You they are definitely going to rise. You can't
tell me.
But they're
yeah. But it's still like a bad buy.
They're not hitting. Is that what you're saying? But they're not. They're going to rise. They're 500, and the guy puts in an MVP season. There'll be a $700 card, but it's not selling.
Yeah, sure. Yep.
For $5,000, $6,000. Because there's just too much supply.
So between 2022 and just before 2023, they were holding strong, and there was a lot of sale data between 1.6 and 1.8, basically. And now they've just slowly trickled down since that time. So I was actually thinking that the new floor was going to be like 1.7, and now it seems like the new floor is basically 500 bucks.
I'm gonna do some quick math because.
That's on the
This silver, is going to be a fun social about. Experiment. I'm going to go to the base. I'm going to write some numbers down. Oh, BGS 10 black. It's 40. Actually, if you want to get a Zion base card, the BGS black label, there's pop count of 43. That's a legitimate card, right?
So you want to discuss having a look base, at the base
because they're talking about this
me?
List. But I was actually going through all the different gradings.
That's fine. 43 no, there. I'm totally
so
fine.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take BGS away Black? The 43 that are BGS Blacks because they're going for $2,500 and I look, they're BGS Blacks. They're black labels. It's not the easiest grading to get. The population is is bugger all. SGC, there's only 370 of them, which is fine. PSA 9, there are 17,602.
Can I interrupt you for 2 seconds? Have you seen the price difference between a BGS 10 and a PSA 10? So the BGS 10 base is selling for $335. And the PSA 10 is selling for $71. Wow. That is a complete opposite market reversal.
BGS 10 is different though. There's pop. What's the pop count on that? 680. So between the BGS 9.5, the PSA 9, and the PSA 10, where's my calculator? This is going to be interesting. Sure. So we've got 9,957 plus 17,602 PSA 9 plus 22,860 PSA 10s. There are over 50,000.
This is riveting.
50,419 Zion base cards that are considered gem mint, which is PSA 9 or 10 and BGS 9.5.
I think gem mint is 10 and gem is...
But on the Gem Mint reports, actually, Ryan can clarify that for us. But 9 and above, 9, 9.5, and 10 gradings, there are over 50,000.
It's not super collectible, is it? Or it is collectible. It's not super rare. That's probably the correct word.
They're not difficult to find. Look, and I granted, the black label, that's difficult to find. Actually, an SGC one's going to be difficult to find too. Their pop counts are 377. Last sold $33, though. Anyway.
Mm.
Final thoughts, Ed? It was nice to really take it out of Zion instead of Luka for a change.
I'm disappointed in you,
I can
to
go
be
through the same numbers for Luka if you want.
I thought you were going to slam Luka after the first two preseason games.
It's when he plays his best basketball in the preseason.
I was waiting for like a Stephen A. Smith like rant
honest. He's okay for now. I'll leave my scathing reviews for the real season. All right, now I'm up to Luca. What do we got?
Alrighty. No, we got to call it quits, man. It's 1:15. No one's going to be listening.
That's listening that would like to know the deep dive on Luca's base card stats, let me up.
We can do it in episode 110, man. We can kick off with it. It's fine. I'll let you have the floor.
There's more different grades for Luca as well. Might have to do a bit more research.
I don't know, you're primed for this. We've finally found something that you're like primed
to talk
about.
How much trash there is in the market. There's even...
All right, I'm putting it in the sheet as we speak.
Nah, we're not at 50,000 with Luca. It's not as impressive. It's over 40, though, I think. Anyway, 9 and above. Brilliant.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Adam.
Pleasure,
it was a lovely
always.
Evening
Good
again.
To have some NBA to watch, some actual games. There'll be more games this week, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, next week, let's start... sort of breaking that stuff down. That'll be good. See you all next week.
All right, mate. Thanks, everyone.
Farewell.
Bye-bye.